Lord God, I ask that you keep my heart focused on you. Keep me still. Let the words that I speak be of the Holy Spirit and not of the earth. Watch over me and watch over everybody who listens and takes refuge in your name, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Hello. It's another week, and I changed a few things with the podcast now. I took off comedy. I replaced it with Christianity. I've taken off TV and film, and so now it's just Christian society and culture, and Christian is the top category. I'm switching my major to Christian and Biblical Studies for a bachelor's, and then hopefully get my majors in the Masters of Divinity. I don't know where that's going to lead me. I assume as a chaplain in the military, and then hopefully it leads me to glorious places. And I thank God for His word and for giving me this passion for His word. And I see myself as mainly a Christian storyteller, and that is something I will probably lean into. The fact that I love stories, I love storytelling, and the Bible to me is the absolute greatest story ever told. I mean, hands down, absolutely. So I'm reading a book by Thomas Kempis, who was like a 1400s. I think he's a contemporary Christian, you know, all these terms. There are a lot to keep up with. And he has this very puritanical idea of the flesh and of earth, where he says that, you know, earthly things become almost useless. They become worthless in the light of God. And there's a point to where that alone, that see that that statement in itself makes sense to me. That statement in itself is very true, because in the glory of God, even if you love all things, you know, you love food, you love a good movie, you might even love a few drugs, you know, but you love yourself at the same time, so you won't abuse them. And what I mean by drugs, I mean like caffeine and alcohol, you know, legal things, not crime. You know, and it gets tough too, because, you know, do you know, because you don't love sin, but you love sinners. So, love all things. It starts becoming a meaningless statement. You just become an embodiment of love, I guess, is sort of what that's supposed to mean. And when you do that, you are an embodiment of love, then you start to have a hierarchy, and you start to see that God is so far on the top that you know, then the, you know, the closest thing to him around us, which is people made in his image, you know, you love them too. And then slowly, very slowly, you start getting to earthly things. And so they become worthless in the light of God. And that I believe is very true. There's absolute truth to that. Because when you're full of lust, lust for drugs, lust for pleasure, whatever it might be, it's not love. And so you put the earthly things on top. And they become, you know, so we're, I was gonna say worthful, but valuable is a better way to put it. But love is an interesting thing. Love is an interesting thing because we don't love sin. Sin is horrible. I mean, sin is nailing Christ on the cross. That's sin. But at the same time, that judgment of sin, I think, is sort of what the devil wants. Because because I think he wants you to judge. I think he wants you to be the decider of good and evil by picking the fruit. I don't think God says after we pick the fruit, okay, great. Now, good luck. You know, and then he punished us and backed off. I don't think that's true. I think God keeps, I think God, I think God now wants us to pick of the fruit of life. At first he didn't. I think at first he wanted us to feel the weight of our decision and repent and go back to God, and we didn't. You know, we covered ourselves in shame, and then we had children. And I'm talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about the Genesis story. And we couldn't go back to the tree of life because a cherubim was guarding the gate. So God blocked off our path to take from the fruit of the tree of life. So we were left to our own devices in a way, but in a way we weren't, because he wanted us to repent and say, I'm sorry. But you know, what we did is man blamed the woman and the woman blamed the serpent. And it took until Noah, I think, I'm pretty sure, it took until Noah for there to be a good man. And then God blessed him and said, you will be the one, your descendants will come from after the flood. So, now we're at a point where we have to pick of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of life. Pick the fruit of the tree of life. Because I think that's what Jesus is. Jesus could be seen as that tree. And his good news is Eden, right? Living in his good news is living in Eden. So then, the position we're in, where we think we know the good and evil, and we're judging things based on that, based on thinking we know the truth of good and evil, I think, it's almost like we're not capable of that type of responsibility. And so that's why we always lead to suffering and to sin. Like the weight of that fruit, we cannot handle. So that's why we end up suffering. And so we have to keep going away from that fruit and go towards the fruit of the tree of life. We have to keep doing that. And so, again, by judging, we can't do that. So we have to love. Love is without judgment. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is all these good things. So to judge is wrong in itself. And I guess the determiner of that is anything other than love is sin. Anything other than love is sin. And so if we're in a position where we think that earthly things and fleshly things and pleasure and lust and all of these, envy, pride, we label them as bad or good, or good in some context. It's like they're nothing without love. And so with love, it's almost like it shatters the whole argument. There's a great Bible Project video. I think it was the demons and something else, but they create Babylon. And then God, in his kingdom above Babylon, you hear this like skadoosh sound from Kung Fu Panda. Dunk, like a almost like a gong sound, and the city of Babylon crashes. And it's almost to me like love is that type of collapsing of Babylon, right? Like Babylon representing sin, and sin is the correct term to use, and the enemy is the correct term to use. Honestly, a lot of times it's actually good to not use specifics. It's good to use sin as just a general term. Because I used to be like, okay, let me figure out the specifics. And it's like, no, it really doesn't matter. The city of Babylon is the city of Babylon, and the city of Eden is the city of Eden. The Garden of Eden is the Garden of Eden. So they're just two conflicting places. It doesn't matter, like, this area within Babylon. The point is that it's in Babylon. That's the point. And the good thing, you could say, like, you know, loving your pets, you know, giving them food and petting them and giving them little head rubs and ear scratches. That's somewhere within the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam was taking care of all of the animals that God placed. But the point is that it's in the Garden of Eden. That is the point. And this puritanical view of Christianity can be a great thing if it's within that context of love. Because within the context of love, you start seeing that the things of earth have little worth. And the things of that are you love, the things of love matter so much more. And you can say, I appreciate beauty. And there's truth to that. That's great. So you might like to buy the things that are beautiful. And then you start having a hierarchy and you start seeing the beautiful things are the things near the top of the hierarchy. Maybe status starts being something way down below on the things on the hierarchy. And I wonder too, I know that sin and love are conflicting, but the things of this world can be within the boundaries of love, which is what's so incredible. So that, like, sex, which is a thing of this world, can be good in the context of love. And I'm trying to think. Anger, even anger and hatred. And, well, anger might be a better word than hatred, but anger can be correctly placed in the context of love. Love isn't always this mushy thing. I think that love is this divine charity. It's God's will on to earth. It's his kingdom come. So a lot of things can fit in that context. But it has to be, you know, through a spirit of love. Food can be within that context. Now, are you eating the food to indulge yourself? To be a glutton? Well, that's not the point. Or are you eating food because the food is delicious and you appreciate the person who made the food for you? You appreciate the system that hired the person that made the food for you, like Chick-fil-A, which I had today, right? The Chick-fil-A is a Christian organization. Yeah, I would like to support them. I mean, they're incredible what they're doing. You know, it's amazing. Still standing up for Christianity in 2022. It's incredible. For a corporation, that's incredible. We're all called to do that, of course. But man, as a corporation in 2022, that takes a lot of guts. And they are getting very rewarded for that. It's fascinating. So I changed this podcast to a more ministry podcast because I don't see myself doing this for comedy anymore. I don't see myself getting on this mic and making like a ton of jokes. I stopped listening to Tim Dillon. I stopped listening to a lot of comedians. I still look at clips here and there very infrequently, maybe if it just shows up, but just because I'm have such a passion for God at this point that like comedy is sort of been put to the side, or again, like I'm saying earlier, placed on the its proper place on the hierarchy. But God is Jesus is at the top, hands down, at the top. And this gosh, this message is absolutely beautiful. I mean, I cried this morning watching well, I was real close to the mic, watching Billy Graham on his TED Talk. If you want something to freaking watch, that is just, oh my gosh, just so sad and amazing at the same time. Billy Graham, his TED Talk. Unreal how good that is. In a time where, like, more Christians need to be talking to science, scientists, people who like technology, you know. When that is at its time, we're at a time where that's needed most. That is a beautiful TED Talk. And then you know at the end, because he's like 80, he's suffering all these medical oh, gosh. Oh, couldn't be sadder. Something else in Thomas Kempis's Imitation of Christ is that it's solitude. It's something you don't hear much in Christianity anymore, because Christianity is all about discipling, for good reason. Spread the good news. But there is something about solitude that cannot be ignored. And if you are in a situation where you want to be like a monk, you want to kind of monk it up, you want to monk it up, might be the best way to put it. You might need to. You might have an environment that begs you to do that. You might be around so much suffering and so much sin that it begs you to solidify yourself somewhere. And that doesn't mean running away. It means finding a place where you can really reach inside your heart and grab onto Christ and hug him and say, save me. Save me. I'm struggling. You know, your eyes of your heart can look onto Christ and say, I need you now more than ever. Say, I don't know how I got here, but I need you. And there's something glorious about that. About even in this, you know, this terrible situation that you can reach down into your heart and find greatness. Goodness, maybe just a better term. Of course, God is just the greatest good. But just feel love in that moment. And that's the most incredible feeling. And cling on to that with your spirit, not with your any physical, fleshly, with your spirit, cling on to that. Don't let go. Don't let your soul let go of that. Grab on hold of that. And not your flesh. Don't keep this tensity around you. But my point, always relax your flesh. There's no reason for your flesh to get any sort of agitation, this feeling of running away. And that's the wrong feeling. Because the feeling you're going after when you see Christ in your heart is love. So if your spirit you need to keep your spirit meditating and praying on Christ at all times. Stay there. Stay there. Man, and that is so that's amazing. And that's sort of what it means to be a monk, what that means to be in solitude, to stay there. And then when you have this love within you, you can share it. You can say, isn't this amazing? And a lot of them will say, I don't care. A lot of people around you will say, I don't care. That is incredibly sad. But do not listen to their opinions over the opinions of God. Because God is there. God is saying, do not worry. I am still with you. They can say whatever they want. Their hearts are walled off and hardened. But yours isn't. Keep it alive. Like, the Lord wants you to do that. And slowly, you can break down the walls of their heart. And you can have them see how beautiful it is that you have a relationship with God. And also, we're in a time right now where we think that we can affect international change. You probably can't. You probably cannot. And honestly, you probably shouldn't. Are you Jesus Christ? Like, there are very few people out there that should be affecting international change. You know, there's God is the only one I can really think of at this point. Yeah, God is, yeah, literally, right? Because, you know, America, if it is affecting international change, it should be through the Spirit of God. It should be through God's will and not its own. So don't try to do any sort of international change. See where God wants you to be. See what His will is for you. And honestly, most likely, it's just to be nice to your friends, your roommate, your close family members. That's kind of it at the moment, most likely. Be nice to the grocery clerk. Be nice to your neighbor walking its dog, or, you know, their dog. Like, that's where God wants you most likely to be. It's affecting change in the community. And doing that really well. I don't want to say mastering that, but doing that really well. And then God might say, you're ready for more. Good work. I'm proud of you. And then you go a little further. But that small, what can seem small, is actually huge. And it only seems small because you're looking through the lens of social media, not through the lens of God. You're looking through the lens of God, you'd see that those small changes can make someone's day so much better. Like so much better. I remember going to a coffee shop, wanting to go in. There's this Christian girl there who I talked to, was pretty close with. I guess we went on we were just very friendly and we were talking. And her mind, it could have been a date. I don't really know. I'm not good at those things. And I remember feeling like such a sinner, but really wanting to go and grab a coffee and actually talk to her. But I felt like, am I not good enough to talk to her? I remember feeling that. I feel like I'm not good enough to talk to her. I feel like she's going to abandon me. Like, not because there's anything wrong with her, but there's just something so deeply wrong with me that she will say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. We had this great conversation, and you were a sweet guy, but man, I didn't realize how awful you were. And I cried thinking about that, because I was like, man, I feel horrible. But that was actually very good for me to go through that. It's very, very important for me to go through that. So I don't... I don't know where that leads anyone listening. But what it tells me in that situation was that I needed to be nice to her and I needed to love her. I need to, in the way that God wants me to love her. Not in any sort of fleshly, and I'm using quotations here, love. Because without God, that's not love. I mean, what is God, how does God want me to love? And love her that way. Love myself that way. And that is the redemptive part, is because I faced the snake on a stick that I think Moses had. I think it was Moses. One of the prophets had it. And then it cured everybody from the snakes. It stopped everybody from getting bit up by snakes. To do that, to face the sin and to love. Okay, well that's this week. I'm coming up. I'm gonna be signing up for biblical studies classes, and I'm going to church Sunday tomorrow. So everybody have a good Sunday. And yeah, thank you for listening. I hope that you got a took away something. You came away with something at the end of this. Hopefully they're getting better every week. Thank you for listening.